It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Financial Literacy Month starts today, and each Monday through the month of April, we'll be tapping into your financial concerns. In 2012, 56% of Americans admitted that they do not keep a budget, including more than one in five who say they don't have a good idea of how much they spend on housing, food, and entertainment. What keeps you from budgeting and saving better? What difficulties do you have with financial planning? Debbie Tawny Newsom is Operations Field Coordinator for NeighborWorks Western Pennsylvania. She teaches community financial education classes and joins us in Studio A to address your questions about budgeting and saving. Debbie Tawny Newsom, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. What keeps you from budgeting your finances better and saving more? How do you decide on your budget goals? Call us, 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. So, Debbie Tawny Newsom, if we're talking about financial literacy this month, let's start with the basic concept of a budget. People act like it's a dirty word. And so the question then becomes, how can people save better, and why are people scared to budget?
Well, I think, Paul, the main thing is they think deprivation. All the things they're going to have to do without, and they don't realize that it's actually going to free them up to do more. They don't know where to start. I mean, the whole time we were growing up, all you hear is budget, 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 but no one tells you where to start or how to start.
And some people may say, well, why should I budget? Why shouldn't I just kind of go day to day? Why should I look that far ahead? Why should they?
Well, one of the things is you're really going to help reduce stress on yourself when it comes to the end of the month when you have to pay all these bills and you've gone and spent the money. Being able to manage your funds when they come in and how they go out will give you more freedom than you'll actually realize that you can have from being on a budget and sticking to it.
And why, you know, we have this month that's dedicated to this, Financial Literacy Month, which starts today and runs through all of April. Why are we devoting a month to this? Why is this? And we hear this is not the only time this topic has come up. Why are we hearing about it so much now?
Well, I think the recession has a lot to do with that. We were brought to our knees practically with the realization that, you know, in America, we think it's never going to rain. But the umbrellas have had to come out along with the almost hip wasters boots because it's a proven fact it does rain. And America was not ready for that with their rainy day funds. I think a lot of what we saw and experienced as a country may not have come to that level if we would have had, as a country, been saving and had it as a habit. A lot of Americans, they save from what they have left. The only problem is we never have anything left. We spend and spend and spend until we have to pull out the credit card and continue to spend.
And then that makes it worse.
Worse. Much, yeah. Much worse.
And as long as you brought that up, what about people who live on credit cards or who keep that credit card around to make ends meet, who are paying bills off their credit card, that kind of thing? How dangerous is that?
It's very scary because the paycheck is gone before they even get it. The paycheck is divvied out to all the different bills and the credit cards before they even get it deposited in their checking account or handed it to them in their hand. So the stress level even goes up further.
And then there's the interest.
And then there's the interest. You're always paying much more for an item than it's actually worth. But yet many times in my financial education classes, I'll ask them, would you be willing to pay that much for an item that you end up paying for it in the long run? And the answer is always no. But I have found mainly in the classes, we don't do the math. We don't figure out what it is going to cost us if we put it on credit. We just put it on credit and don't think about it. I'll just make the payments.
Is it the unwillingness to know, or is it simply not knowing?
sort of like the ostrich in the sand.
So you can find out, but you just would rather not know.
Absolutely.
As opposed to being completely oblivious.
Well, the more I don't know about it, the less accountable I make myself to it.
So that's why we do that.
I think.
This is also like not only financial planning, but we're getting financial psychology from
you. I'll hang up my shingle.
Yes, there's more to meets the eye than with the term financial analyst. So, all right, when people finally decide, okay, you talked about this situation, this scenario in which we're brought to our knees. So when people finally decide, okay, that's the sound of my fist slamming against the table, I'm going to make a budget, what generally tends to be the approach?
Well, I think any budget that is going to be one that you're able to stay on is it has to be built not only around your bills, but around your goal. And it has to be a smart goal. It has to be a goal that can be attained, can be measured, is realistic.
For example?
If I say, we won't even go on money, just a goal, I'm going to lose weight. That's really not a smart goal because I can't measure myself against it. I have to say how much I'm going to lose and when I'm going to lose it by so that I can keep tabs on it and keep myself accountable because it's my budget. It's my goal. So if you make a goal that you want to pay down your credit card debt, you have to put an amount on it. You have to put a time period on it. So you can go along the time frame and say, well, how am I doing? Do I have to step it up or am I doing okay? Because if you don't, when it comes to the hard questions of being able to stay on the budget that you have to ask yourself when you go to spend that money somewhere else, is this a need or is this a want? Will this keep me from my goal or will it help me toward my goal?
What are some of the reasons people say they fail to save their money effectively from week to week?
This is 100% are saying to me that they don't have the money to save. And one of the reasons that they don't have money to save and one of the things we learn in our classes is that they don't have the money because they don't realize where they're wasting or where it's leaking out of their pockets. One of the exercises I have them do is to keep a month-long diary of every penny they spend. It can be a pain, but it really pays off in the long run. You know, I can say, you know, I spend too much money on getting my nails done. But when you actually see down on paper that you're spending $200 a month on getting your nails done, it brings it a little bit more into reality.
What are some of the things that you recommend to people that if you were going to say to somebody, and I'm sure it differs depending on whether it's a man or a woman, but when you say if someone were to say, just give me one example of a way that I can save money each month, I can cut my costs, what would you recommend? First to a man and then we'll say a woman.
I would say this goes on both. If you're working outside the home, is start to take your lunch and not buy it.
Don't eat out. Okay. I hear that one comes up a lot.
Yeah, I personally did this because I had to make sure that what I was teaching really worked. I found $1,200 a year that I can save. I still eat. I eat what I want to eat.
$1,200 a year not eating out, by just bringing your lunch to work as opposed to eating out.
Just bringing my lunch to work.
We're not talking dinner?
No.
We're just talking lunch?
Just lunch.
Wow.
And $1,200, you know, you can pay down a considerable credit card debt. I personally use it to pay for vacations.
Man, I'm never eating out again. Debbie Tawny Newsom is Operations Field Coordinator for NeighborWorks Western Pennsylvania here on Essential Pittsburgh with us. If you have a comment or question for her, you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. And we have some questions for you. We would like to know, what keeps you from budgeting your finances better and saving more? And how do you decide on your budget goals? 412-246-2002, the number to call to join the conversation. Does it help to approach personal finance with short-term goals in mind or with a more long-term focus of saving a nest egg? For example, having some sort of savings looking at retirement, which would be hopefully for most of us a long-term prospect.
Mm-hmm. I think they have to go hand in hand. Saving the short-term for the quote-unquote rainy day fund, that's now. You know, not everybody's going to turn 59 and a half tomorrow. So saving for the retirement has to go right along with, you know, someone who's going to work and in their 20s, they should get signed up for their 401k as soon as possible and start putting away for that nest egg. We don't know what Social Security is going to be there or not. But then yet they still need to be putting away money to make the repairs on the hot water tank or the car goes, so that they don't have to use the charge card all the time.
Every family has frugal members and those who tend to splurge. What approach can people take for getting the whole family on board with financial planning? It's hard enough to do on your own, but then if if your spouse likes to spend maybe more than you do, or your children do, then what do you do to bring everybody in, to have everybody on the same page?
Well, that's a good one. One of the things I believe in America we are not very good at is sitting around the dining room table. We don't do that much anyhow. But to sit around the dining room table and actually talk about finances with our whole family, children included, many times that's not for them. As a parent, it's my job to take care of, and they shouldn't have to be worried about it or know about it. Meanwhile, we're depriving them from the learning experience. When you mention, the spouse where one's saving and one's spending, it takes sitting down and have a heart-to-heart conversation, doing the math on the piece of paper, seeing it. We can say it all we want, but if you don't write it down and see it and see how it's affecting the other person, it takes some communication on both parts.
If you want to get your children to get involved in helping the entire household save money, does it help to make sure that there's a group goal? For example, if the parents say, well, we want to save money because mom and dad, want to take a vacation, as opposed to, if we save enough money, we can all go to Disneyland, or we can buy a boat and take it out in the summertime, that kind of thing. Does getting everybody involved in a group goal provide enough of an incentive to get people to save?
Well, I think it would definitely help because everybody has a buy-in, they have a chore to do during and at the end they have, a reward for experiencing it. I also think that it's very helpful for as young as the children can be, once they start getting any kind of allowance or any kind of money for doing things, that they're sat down and, this much is for me to spend however I want. And this much is for savings, and this much maybe is for a goal that I want, that they work toward. And when we don't do that, we're very guilty sometimes as parents that we want to give our kids everything. And I understand that, and I agree with it to a point, but we're also robbing them of some things, of working toward a goal, feeling the endorphins that run through our system when we achieve a goal. As little as it may be. And we also can use that time with our kids to teach them the difference between wants and needs, because that is what I believe the very nucleus of the budget and the financial management whole thing.
Are there studies that show that we used to do this better, that maybe our parents' generation or the generation before that did a better job of saving money than we do today?
I don't know about studies or surveys, but I remember because I was one of those ones that had to save and work toward. And I know that it was very helpful to me. And we didn't live on credit then. I know my parents didn't live on credit and their parents didn't live on credit. It was you paid as you went, and they were able to do a lot more, I think.
So why is it different now? Is it the idea that we, of the quick gratification, instant gratification that we get from certain social media or just in general in our society today that prevents us from postponing the joy of spending that $5 that we could save for something better in the long run?
Well, Paul, I think we've become a society of instant gratification. We have instant coffee, instant cereal, instant, lose 2 pounds in one day. Nobody wants to wait to get the final So I believe you're absolutely hitting the nail on the head with that.
Is that part of your challenge when you're helping people plan financially to adjust their thinking or to instill some level of patience in them that they didn't have before?
Yes. One of the things is trying to show them that they're not going to have that big nest egg right away. It's going to build. And it does build little by little by little. In the financial education classes, we strive very hard to teach them, okay, you're going to start out small and then work up to the, you know, you're going to start out with a savings account that's liquid. And then in a little while, you'll be able to have some in your savings. And then maybe you open a certificate of deposit that isn't liquid, but it pays more interest. And then maybe a little bit later, we're going to be able to do the certificate of deposit, the savings, and then at the same time be doing a 401k. That is for the long term for your retirement.
How much does the stock market – I mean, people are afraid to reinvest because of what happened in the fall of 2007. How safe is it to get back into investing nowadays? What do you tell people when they say, hey, I want to invest my money in something, but I'm concerned about losing it?
Well, I think from where I sit, my main job is to educate them as to the higher the rate of return, the higher the risk. And they have to look at, can I afford the risk of losing my principal? And if I can't afford to lose the principal, then I need to stay out of that sandbox.
That's great advice. Debbie Tawny Newsom, Operations Field Coordinator for NeighborWorks Western Pennsylvania. A couple more questions before we let you go. One is, you used to hear people say quite often, I want to be ready. I want to have enough saved up to be able to retire at, you know, a certain age. So I want to be done when I'm 30, or I want to be retired when I'm 40 or 50 or 55. You know, people would plan a goal. They'd look at the mm-hmm. calendar. They'd pick a year and they'd say, you know, 57. By age 57, I'm done working because I'm going to have enough saved up and that's it. Do people still plan that way? And am I imagining that more people did it years ago than do it now?
Yeah. No, I think people do still plan that way. I'm one of them. But what's happened of late is the game around you keeps changing. So what you started in planning that at 60 you'd be able to retire, now at 60, I can't retire yet. Insurances have changed, the cost of insurance, the cost of living has changed. So we're playing in a field that's always changing. It's changing a lot more than it did for our mothers and fathers.
And are you hearing more and more that people don't know when they're going to be able to retire?
Absolutely. And a lot of it is the cost that'll be involved with them retiring. And insurance seems to be the number one.
So not to end on such a down note, how early should people be developing a financial education? How soon in life should one start?
Oh, as I mentioned before, as soon as the child starts getting any money that they consider their own.
As soon as that weekly allowance starts rolling in?
We have some really wonderful classes that we do for the youth. And budgeting, teaching it to the youth as teaching it to the adult, it's the same. It's the same process, the same maybe changing a little bit of the verbiage that it's a little bit more hip to the kids, but it's the same principles.
A lot of us of a certain generation used to shovel snow or do, depending on what time of year, we do yard work.
And do you find a kid to do that anymore?
I don't know. All I know is I had a jar. A lot of us had a jar with money in it, and I'm wondering if it's still there because I sure would like to find it.
You'd watch that jar grow, right?
If I had invested it. See? Yeah. But if you were around, Debbie Tawny Newsom is Operations Field Coordinator for NeighborWorks Western Pennsylvania. She teaches community financial education classes, and she has joined us here in Studio A to talk about budgeting and saving. This is Financial Literacy Month, the month of April. So since it's just starting today, we'll be having more discussions about this. And Debbie, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Up next, we'll talk with PSO concertmaster Noah Bendix Balgley, who's performing the national anthem at the Pirates' home opener when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.